democracy.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley. I'm the host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. Here's a big question. How is your sexual relationship going to improve in this new year? Well, my guest can add so much to this conversation, Dr. Lori Buckley. Hello, Lori. It's good to have
Hello,
you
Dr.
on the
Diana.
Show again.
And
yes.
It's so good to be here again with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Lori and I have known each other 25 years at least, maybe more. Mm-hmm. And we're friends, too. And she's been on the show. The last time was in October when we talked about some of the behind-the-scenes secrets of sex therapists, because we've both been sex therapists a long time. And if you want to check that out, it's in the archive, October 29th of last year. And
that was a fun
we
show.
It was a fun show, for sure. A fun
yes.
show. And a lot of people wonder, I think, about sex therapy and what's going on. So we provided some information about that. And so here we are in 2020.
And a new decade.
Yes, a new decade. And people are wanting to move on and make some decisions. And your book, Dr. Lori Buckley, is just great. And the book is 21 Decisions for Great Sex and a Happy Relationship. Dr. Lori is a psychologist, a licensed psychologist, and an ASEC certified sex therapist. And Lori and I were co-narrators of Great Sex for a Lifetime back in, I think, 2005 or 6, maybe?
Oh, gosh, I don't even know. It was a while ago, but it's still, you know, relevant and still can be useful to a lot of people.
For a lot of people, it targeted baby boomers, but the information there is really for all ages, and people can get that. Can they stream it now? I don't know. But they can get it through bettersex.com?
I believe so. I'm sure it's still available out there, although I wish I could give you better information. It might be streamable, but it definitely is attainable. Let's go with that. If people have a DVD player, the DVDs do exist.
Yes, and I have copies that I loan out to couples. Sometimes I don't get them back, but
yes,
usually I
do. Yeah, so. I know. We always, you know, do it regardless, right? We know it'll be helpful. We ask for it back, but if we don't get it back, that's okay as long as it helped them. But, you know, you're talking about the decisions and making 2020 better. And so many people at the beginning of the year make resolutions. And even in my book, I talk about the difference between resolutions and decisions, because we know resolutions don't stick. So we want to help people today really get clear about what are you going to do differently this year than maybe you haven't done in other years, where you might have had the resolution or the desire to have a better sex life, but nothing actually happened, or you tried, but it didn't work. So this is a great opportunity to get some ideas, maybe some tools and things that you can actually bring into your relationship to help your sex life.
Your book is full of tools. It's such a practical guide. And at the beginning of your book, you quote Eleanor Roosevelt. I love this quote. I'm so glad you put it in your book. She said, "Do one thing a day that scares you." And you write, "After I made that decision, I was aware of the many times I said yes to do something scary, challenging things that I would never have done before making that decision."
Boy, that alone
could
change somebody's sex life. Right?
And I say again, I'm sorry, I talked over you.
I said that alone could change someone's sex life.
Of course. Of course. You have some very good quotes in your book and very good information. But doing something, one thing a day that scares you, can you expand on that a little bit? Oh, I'm going to stop for a second. If you're listening to this program live, and some of you are, before it's archived by tomorrow morning, you can call in. And if you're the first caller in with a question for Dr. Lori Buckley, you will win her book. You'll get a free book. Yeah. So if you call in and we have a discussion, and then stay on the line, and our producer will write down your address so that Dr. Lori can send you her book. It's a wonderful book. It's just so straight ahead, right on, with some very practical help.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, and you know, again, the difference between decisions and resolutions is decisions are, one, they're a commitment and they're followed through with action. And so there's mm-hmm. where the do something every day that scares you fits really well. And an example of that is something that you might normally say no to say mm-hmm. yes to, even though it might be scary and uncomfortable.
And, I'm sorry, I have to go back to what I just said about calling in. It is 888-874-4888. So that's the call-in number. And you'll talk to our wonderful producer, and he'll probably want to know what you're going to want to talk about. So that's a little screening. And then if you pass that, you get to be on the air with Dr. Lori and Dr. Diana. And
you can ask us anything.
Anything, because we
anything
are two seasoned sex therapists.
Yes,
we've heard all kinds of questions
about that. And I think we should repeat the number one more time. It's 888-874-4888, in case you didn't get that the first time.
Thank you. Dr. Lori has her own podcast, and so you can see she's very comfortable with some of this radio podcast etiquette. Yes.
Oh, always still learning, though, right?
Oh, always, and that's very important, and that actually fits into the topic that we are currently discussing is how is your sexual relationship going to improve in this new year? You want to keep things new and exciting. That's pretty important, so you get dopamine. Mm-hmm. So talk some about that, Lori.
Well, I think a lot of people may want to have better sex or more fun sex or more exciting sex. I think there's a lot of people who don't believe it's possible. Well, that'll stop mm-hmm. you in your tracks. It's like, oh, I'm too old. We've been together for too long. I'm too fat. We have kids. I mean, there's so many things that stop us. Mm-hmm. So it's either yeah. limiting beliefs or fear. And it really is about, yes, figuring out the things that would excite you and be fun and trying them even though it might be scary, but also really understanding the things that have been stopping you.
Yes, and sometimes that is negative body image,
mm-hmm.
And we'll get into that a little bit later, I think. Sometimes that is early religious training.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that is messages received from mothers when they were growing up. Adolescence is a very critical period for self-esteem. Sometimes that got in the way. But
lack of confidence on all of those levels, right?
Yeah, exactly.
My penis isn't big enough. I can't get an erection. I can't keep
yeah.
an erection. I can't come. I come too quickly. Like all of these things that get in the way of us enjoying sex.
That's right, because we can't truly be present and we can't authentically let go.
Yeah, and just have fun, because it really is about pleasure. That's sex is. I mean, obviously it's for procreation for some people, but most of us don't have sex for procreation.
No. Been there, done that.
Yes. but for so many people, it's not fun and it's not pleasurable. It's work. It's a chore. It's scary. It doesn't feel good. And this year can be different if you do some things differently. And that's what we're talking about today.
That's what we're talking about. So what do you think, for starters, people can do as a beginning? Because, my goodness, when you talk about change, and especially change in your sexual relationship, which is so intimate and so fraught with
anxiety,
possible shame, and I just go on and on and on, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
so
I think
might
the first
be a,
step.
Go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
I think you're going to agree with me on this one, right? It is feeling comfortable with your own sexuality and your own body.
Yeah.
As flawed as it might be, because we're all flawed, none of us are perfect. I think most people would like to change something about their body, but feeling comfortable with your own body, touching your own body, looking at your own body with your sexual feelings, or even lack thereof, just acceptance. It's acceptance for who you are and who your partner is. And there's something really lovely and freeing about acceptance rather than thinking or feeling or trying to be something that we're not. And I would say that's probably the first step. What would you say,
Diana? I couldn't
Diana?
Agree with you more. And it could, doing that first step could be accelerated by, well, it's usually women with these problems, but not always. But if the woman can pause, breathe, and say, you know, my body is flawed in my mind, but not necessarily in my partner's mind. That might help.
Right.
There have been some studies, a lot of studies on body image. But one is that studies have shown that men actually prefer women to be heavier than women think is attractive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
That's, that, you know, women, that's not portrayed in the media. A lot of men love a curvy woman, a woman that they can kind of hold on to, that she's not a, just not quite so skinny and bony. A lot of women really like voluptuous, a lot of men really like voluptuous
and women. Yeah.
And the visual compromises, according to research, the first 2 minutes of a man's response. The first 2 minutes. And then a lot of men are just so happy to have a naked woman in their presence. They don't care if she's has chubby thighs or whatever her issue is. They don't care. Most men don't care.
Especially
if they do care, you may not want to be with them.
That's exactly right. And a man will be especially happy to be with a woman if she is turned on by him, if through her eyes he can see himself, you know, as somebody who is attractive and desirable and wanted and appreciated. That's much more important than the size of clothes you wear, right, or the size of your thighs.
That's such a good point, that through her eyes, there's a mirroring effect. And he, when he feels attractive and she's responsive, that overcomes a lot of what could be considered superficial body image issues.
Yeah. It's why a lot of affairs happen. And, you know, I've had couples come in, and the woman who, if the husband has been the one who has been the betrayer, she can't understand because she saw the woman who he cheated with, and she can't understand why, because this other woman is older or less attractive or all those things above, right? Maybe overweight. But that's not what matters. It's how he feels when he's with that other person. So we want to be that woman, that partner, and the man too, who can show our partner that we love them, that we desire them, that we're turned on by them. And when we're in relationships for a while, oftentimes we really come from a place of looking at what's wrong and telling our partner in a lot of different ways what's wrong with them or why we're not happy. And that is definitely one of the things that can get in the way of a really great sex life. So it's not just the sex, but it's how are you communicating? How are you feeling? What's going on in the relationship?
You make so many good points there. And don't you find that when you have new people coming in, that they say they have a particular sex issue, it may be mismatched desire, our most common presenting problem, but it's often that they're not communicating at all with each other. The message sent is not the message received. And, if
they're
people would
they're
only...
avoiding it.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, this is a little bit of a joke. There's a four-letter word that if more people did it more often, they'd be so much happier. And it's not F-U-C-K, it's T-A-L-K. It's talk.
I like it. Yes, and one of the words that's in the title of your show, laugh.
Yes, laugh. Boy, you know... couples who laugh together last together.
That's
so everybody
like
listening
that.
Live, you may call in and ask Dr. Lori or me or both of us a question. And if you're the first to call in, you're going to win her book, 21 Decisions for Great Sex and a Happy Relationship. It's a small book, but boy, it's a powerful book. And it is so helpful. I've used some of her exercises, giving her credit, of course, for some of my clients. They're very good.
That.
Yes, they're very good.
Well, there's
good.
Action steps. Yeah, and that's what I said. The decisions is the commitment and the action. And there are specific action steps, and they're small. You just make one decision and one small change or one small action step, and it really makes a difference. Now, a big one, a decision, is to be curious. I'm not even sure if that's in my book. I imagine it is. Being curious is a big one. Well, how do you do that? You ask questions. You remember to be interested, which we generally stop doing after we've been dating for a little while.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't take long to stop being curious. So whether it's about sex
but you're right.
or about...
That is so important. It'll revitalize the relationship, especially for people that have been together a while. Because you could always learn something new about your committed partner. And,
it could be, what would you like to try?
They say that you want to keep a little bit of mystery around you. That this is advice for women.
Mm-hmm.
Keep a little mystery. And, okay... maybe there's some truth to that, a little mystery. But I think for most really healthy long-term relationships, there's no mystery, there's no game playing, there's just, let's talk about this and try to work it through. And then not to talk about it forever and ever and ever, but to keep it to like 15 minutes and be focused. Because you know how couples can... especially the woman, usually the woman, not always, but usually, just goes on and on and on and on, and some more introverted husbands find that just overwhelming.
Yeah,
so,
they just shut her off. They're looking at her maybe, but they're not really hearing anything that she's saying. But I think if we're communicating on a regular basis, that doesn't happen so much. But it's fun questions. Like, what would you like to try that we've not yet done? You know, what's something you've been thinking about? Or what's been one of your favorite sexual memories that you have of us? Or what are things that you have fantasized about that you've never done that you might be willing to do or want to do with me? So there's just a lot of fun sexual questions, but it's not just about sex, right? It's just being interested in what your partner is interested in. And you're not necessarily interested in the topic as much as you're interested in learning about them.
Mm-hmm. That's beautifully stated and very true. And actually listening to your partner attentively is also a big turn on. You know, to be really heard. I think, of course, you and I know that in therapy, when we have a couple in therapy, and in my case also individuals, you may have individuals too, but just to be really listened to is a big part of the therapy. To be, you know, I'm tuned in. I'm there. I'm listening. It's active listening and more.
Empathy.
And that can be very therapeutic in and of itself, just to be heard, finally. Well, think about how that transfers into a couple's relationship.
Yes, and it's validating and it's just loving and compassionate, as opposed to a lot of couples when they have maybe a disagreement or something's not feeling right. We can tend to get defensive. We want to defend. We want to explain. We're not really listening to what our partner is saying as much as trying to prove why we are right or that we didn't do anything wrong. And that's the opposite of what creates really great connection, which also really does make a difference in your sex life.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about how that spills over into your sex life, because it does for sure.
Yeah, when we go into protection mode. You know, there's some people who just the thought of their partner touching them makes them want to cringe. They just aren't able to receive any kind of touch or pleasure. And they think there's something wrong with them, but oftentimes they have felt resentful or hurt by things that have happened, sometimes over the years, because they never really got addressed. And it's one of those things that gets in the way. And I said, you got to know what's getting in the way of having the sex you want in a long-term relationship. Resentment is, or anger is, a common one. Being able if you're in a new relationship, start talking about these things so it doesn't turn into resentment. But if you've been in a long-term relationship and there are things that have not been discussed, if you can discuss them, great. Sometimes you do need some help with therapy. But having those just real conversations, one speaker at a time, and making sure if you're listening to your partner, you're just listening to understand, not agree. And just really listening.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Listening to understand, not agree.
That's not easy.
No.
And it makes a big difference. Yes.
That's why a little communication exercise that some of my couples do, some don't, even though I offer it as homework assignment. So a couple sits down and they have a talking stick. You probably know this.
I rarely use it. But yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
It works.
But it can be a pen. It doesn't have to be anything formal.
Yes.
So one person has the talking stick, and the assignment is he or she says what they're upset about or the conflict or that sort of thing, and and they talk about it for about 2 minutes, no longer, and then the person listening has to say what they heard, and then if the person who was offering all that information agrees, then good, they agree, and then the other person gets a talking stick, and it repeats. but it's a way to have more couple understanding and no one person dominating the communication, because that does happen, as we both know.
That can happen. And, you know, again, they don't necessarily have to agree with what their partner's saying.
Mm-hmm.
If they can hear it and understand it, even though they might think about it differently, that can be really lovely, not just for the person who is feeling understood, but it feels much easier on the other side, too, to know, oh, they just think about it differently than I do. It's easier to navigate than thinking you have to agree on everything, because there's so many things people just aren't going to agree on because their subjective experience is so different. You know, it's like they were telling two completely different stories about the exact same event, and it's always fascinating. But that's what happens, because we see the world and we hear things through our experiences. I have to say, through our lens, the way we look at the world from all of our experiences in our life before we met our partner, and certainly with our partner. So there's something about not having to agree that makes it easier to listen as well.
Oh, I love the point you're making, and I hope the listening audience are taking notes, because this is very important for good communication. And when we have really good, honest, open communication with our beloved, what a difference that makes.
Yes, and in bed and out of bed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so maybe we'll segue into the second topic of the day, although maybe you want to summarize. How is your sexual relationship going to improve in this year?
Yeah. I'm going to go back to what we started at the beginning, your quote that you read from my book, from Eleanor Roosevelt.
Right.
I won't take credit, but it changed my life. Doing something every day that scares you. And that thing might be exploring your own body. It might be having the difficult conversation with your partner about what is not working for you sexually or what it is that you desire. It's those difficult conversations that can be scary and easily avoided that really become problematic. So that's a huge thing. Again, having those conversations and really understanding those things that are getting in the way and taking action and doing things that can start to make a difference. So this year, it's not just a resolution, it's not just a dream. It actually can be something that happens. Step by step, moment by moment. It doesn't change overnight. It's doing something, anything, you know, every day or every week. It's just really being intentional about the things that you're doing and saying, so your relationship and your sex life can be very different and much better than it was last year or the year before.
Well said, Dr. Lori. Honestly. And I will repeat, people don't usually like to call in. They like to listen. But if you are listening live, 888-874-4888, if you have a question for Dr. Lori. And if you're the first caller, you'll get her book, her wonderful book, 21 Decisions for Great Sex and a Happy Relationship. And you write in your book, kind of a tag on to what we just were talking about. Make the decision to do one thing a day to make your mate happy. I love that one.
Yeah.
Action steps that you suggest. When you go to the market, buy them their favorite treat. Or send a loving text message. Or plan a special night out.
Yeah. All of them really easy. Does just take a
easy
little effort.
Easy to do. Easy, easy to do. And it was published in 2013, so I've had your book a while, and we've talked on other of my programs about it. But when I think, and I know you can relate to this because of your own personal experience, but my husband died and your partner died, and I this paragraph on page 12 in your book, it really resonated for those reasons. And it is, I'm quoting your book now, "Think about all the things you love about your partner. Now think about the things your partner does for you and how it would be if he or she were no longer in your life. What if today was the last day you got to see your mate? None of us know how long we have on this earth. Start living with a sense of appreciation and gratitude, and then express it." That is beautiful, and that is true.
And I wrote that before Alan died.
I know you did.
Yeah, I knew that even then. And it's so precious, time. Time is precious, and to remember what is in our life, and when we have somebody who loves us, as flawed as they might be and imperfect as our relationship might be, because they all are in some ways, to just remember the things that they do give us and they do bring us, and to live in gratitude and appreciation, because it really is true, as we know, we both not only did we have our partners die, but they died quickly and unexpectedly, which is
exactly right.
A whole other thing. Yes, it's not like they had illness and they were, not that that's any better, but there's something about you see somebody and you have no idea that that's going to be the very last moment you ever see them or touch them or talk to them. And, you know, it's just one of those realities of life. And not that we should live in fear about that, but live fully because of that. It's important.
Yes. I mean, after Charlie died so suddenly, and that was now, my goodness, 20 years ago almost. But then my mantra became, carpe diem, damn it. And I'm just pounding the table here. Damn it. You've got to seize the day. You've got to do it because life is so uncertain. And we just don't know. And then when somebody divorces, because divorce is like a death. It's the death of hopes and expectations. Or when a beloved dies, you know, you. It's better if you don't have a lot of regrets. Oh, I wished I'd said this to him, or I wished we'd done this. And actually, we know that the path of grief is much harder when you have regrets.
Yes. Well said. Yes.
Yes. So, but it's complicated. It's very complicated, and no one grieves the same way or takes the same amount of time. We have to be really open about that. Don't you think, Lori?
Yeah. It's a long road, but there are good days and hard days. It's sort of like life, you know.
Mm-hmm,
some days are
mm-hmm.
we struggle, and some days are beautiful, and some moments we're in joy, and some moments we're in struggle and pain. And it's accepting all of those things, whether it's just about our relationship, about life, but certainly about loss and grief. It has a life of its own, and not feeling bad about how we're feeling, and just allowing yourself to be wherever you are. But I really want to just highlight what you said, because if people could follow that, what you were saying, which is not to have regrets and to be able to live fully. And look, we're never 100% perfect. I always say some days we're not our best selves, but we can
yeah.
kind of go, okay, I can do better and do better the next day. That's how we grow. So it's not about being perfect, but about being conscious and about trying to be the best person we can be and the best partner we can be. And what happens then, whether it's death or divorce or whatever might happen, we can feel solid about what we have done. Again, maybe not perfectly, but knowing that we really did do our best most of the time, and that is going to make the grieving or maybe alleviate the grieving, but certainly make it a lot easier. So it's living in the moment, right?
Yeah, and I think knowing that you made your partner so happy while they were alive.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of it, too.
Yes.
I think it is for you, because I knew your Alan, and you know my... You didn't know my Charlie, who died, but you've met my Brian, and you've seen
I know
how
you.
I have moved
I
on.
I know you. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know me, but and actually, wow, it... by the time I met Brian, I was ready for him. I met so many men on online dating. Oh, and by the way, you and I we talked off the air. We're going to do this on your podcast, talk about online dating over 50, because that's a big topic. But I had done years of online dating, and it took me... Oh, I would say about kissing, sometimes kissing, not always, 50 frogs before I found my prince.
Sometimes more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but you can't get to your prince sometimes without the frogs. And it's part of
the
journey.
That's right. Talk about that. I agree.
Yeah. Again, it's not about doing things perfectly or waiting till you're ready or... waiting until the perfect person comes along or until you are perfect, till you're the right weight or you're emotionally, ready to take on a new adventure. It's doing it even if you're not ready. It's doing it to get ready. And that's what you did. I'm not so good at that. I'm still finding my way in the dating world for lots of reasons, which we'll talk about on the show. And I know you'll put a link on your show so people can listen to it, but that's going to be an interesting show. But yes, it is. It's an act of courage. Let's put it that way. And it's doing it. And again, with anything, right, when we make a decision, because you're clear about what you want, but you have to be clear about what you want. And then you're willing to do even the difficult things, the scary things to get it. But you have to have that clarity about what you want and why before you make those decisions and before you actually take action. But it's not about being necessarily ready or fearless, because then you're never gonna make a move. And that goes with what we're talking about today too, having a better relationship
and,
or a better sex
life. And
yeah,
you have so much good information and I'm hoping you apply it to yourself, because it's really healthy. It's really good.
I know. Like I said, you need that clarity first. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's do I want to be in a relationship? And I do. There's a big part of me that does. But there is another part that that doesn't. I mean, I'll be honest. There's another part that's like, well, Alan was pretty great. And, am I going to find someone else like him? No, I definitely won't. But it doesn't mean that I can't find myself in a really wonderful relationship. So there's, there's some hesitation.
Oh,
it's been long.
I relate. I mean, my late husband, Charlie, was great and having an unexpected heart attack was just shattering. And, it was at a spa in an aerobics class, and it happened right in front of me. So it was very hard.
Devastating,
Devastating, shattering, However,
I mean, that's trauma. Yeah, I mean, it's true trauma.
I grew from it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think you have too.
Oh, yeah, no question. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am a better therapist, a better human, because of the suffering that I went through. And I think there is potential for huge growth if you're willing to go through it. I mean, some people don't. They go to all kinds of things to avoid the suffering. And sometimes it's a new relationship right away, right? So I didn't want to do that. But there's also that limit where it's like, okay, maybe you're avoiding moving forward, so in a way that could be healthy. And it's, like you said, it's complicated. There's so much to understand, but also it really is about, if it's something that is, that you're clear about what you want, just doing some things, even though you're not sure, or even though it might be scary. And yes, I'm talking to myself.
I hear that, and I love it. You have so much wisdom and experience to offer. Carry on.
Because that right there, just the doing it, regardless of any outcome or anything, that could be something that could feel really good, knowing that I am moving forward in that way. I mean, my life is incredible. I'm very happy. I've done so much, and I'm doing so much in my life that I feel really good about, and I have a lot of joy and blessings in my life. But that is an area that I have not yet ventured into since Alan died, and it'll be 4 years in March. So 4 years
in March,
like,
yes.
Okay, yeah. I didn't think that's a reasonable time to mourn. I think I feel,
well,
okay.
You know, everybody's mourning path is different.
Yeah.
And so to accept that is important. And you have high self-awareness. And you know yourself, another way to put it, you know yourself, and your path is going to be your path. If I were your therapist, I would just want to say, maybe have somebody kick your butt a little bit.
Well, I think that's what you're saying now, Diana.
I know. You know, get out there and try.
As a friend.
That's right.
Yes.
And you know that I love and care about you. So,
of course.
It's so it's a little awkward, and here we're saying this on the air, but
you,
I think people like to know
anytime.
That any, you know, we're professionals, and professional therapists also have their own issues, and of course, it's important for us to get clear about our own stuff so we don't project it onto other people. And we're way past that in terms of experience, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not that there aren't moments, but we're aware of it if it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but honestly, Lori, you have so much to offer. And I, you know, I'm projecting a little bit because I felt like I had a lot to offer too, and it took me 10 years after being widowed, before I met Brian. So 10 years, but you know, I learned and improved during those 10 years.
Yes, and by the way, when you told me it had been 10 years, that was sort of a relief. I'm like, oh. No hurry. But I also have to say, I don't have any doubt about what I have to offer. I wonder what someone else can offer me. And that may
be such a good point.
Something, but no judgment. That's kind of how I feel about it. You know, so what am I going to get from having someone else in my life? And, you know, people we all have our own struggles. And I know that when being in a relationship, part of that is taking on some of those things. And so I have to be ready for that. And I'm sure there are, I know there are incredible available men out there who probably would have a lot to offer. I just can't imagine what it might be at this moment. But I'm getting there. I want to open up to.
Oh, sure you are. And it's, of course, very understandable that you would have some reservations. You still are. There's a part of you that's still grieving for Alan, and I got to meet him. We stayed with you one night in the Hollywood Hills, and Brian and I, and you made us this fabulous dinner and invited two other couples. Oh, what a memorable night that was. And Alan was bright and charming and so just a solid, good man, and of course you would miss him.
Yeah, I do.
And you can't, of course, and you can't replace him, but there might be another man out there. Now, Dr. Diana speaking to you.
Yes, I'm listening.
I know. But there might be another man out there. He won't be Alan, but he'll be a good man because you're a good woman, and you'll attract that sort of thing. You will.
Thank you. Thank you,
Diana.
You're welcome. I appreciate that.
Well, you're an amazing woman.
Let's change the subject.
Okay, we can do that for sure. Should we go to negative body image? We talked a little bit about it. I mean,
yes.
Okay, well, that'll be a shift away from. So I touched on it a little bit, but I think there's so many, especially women, more and more men, but especially women, who suffer from negative body image, and of course, the one way you're able to enjoy sex is to focus on the pleasure. And if you're distracted by the worry that your partner won't find you attractive, well, you won't respond. And
right.
Who knows? A lover who senses that you're kind of fidgety and not really involved, may lose interest because you're not in the moment. You're another place.
Yes. You're in, again, sort of that reactive freeze place. And, you know, that's especially true. I don't know if you see this. I imagine you do with oral sex. There's a lot of women who do not enjoy oral sex, and a big part of it is because they're very self-conscious about their vagina, the way it looks, the way it smells. I mean, there's a lot of negative messages that women get. And like you said, whether, you know, it's from the church or growing up or the jokes or all kinds of ways we get that message. And I find that when women do not enjoy or want oral sex, which is interesting, their partners usually want it more than anything to be able to give them that kind of pleasure.
Yes.
There's
yes.
one of two things. Sometimes it's because their partner doesn't do it very well and they don't know how to communicate that, but that's still around some insecurity. But oftentimes it is about them feeling self-conscious about their vagina, which is a part of their body. It could also be, again, just enjoying sex because they're worried about the size of their stomach or what their partner might be thinking. But I find that sexually speaking, with the oral sex, that is a big problem.
Well, it is, and I think that women have to feel, on some level, entitled to pleasure in order to lie back, spread their legs, and have their partner up between their legs, licking and sucking.
Mm-hmm.
And because a lot of women are raised to think that they have to be the pleaser, and that early message can stick. So it's harder for some women to receive pleasure. And let's face it, 69 can be fun, but it's often distracting. It's too much going on.
Right.
So, but for a woman to lie back and receive oral, she has to feel entitled to pleasure and to let go and to not be thinking about, now, if she's just washed, I mean, it's obvious that hygiene is important here. So I believe that she needs to be clean. And if
but
she doesn't have an infection.
But to be able to say that. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Her vaginal juices should taste delicious, and men who are really evolved and into cunnilingus will say that, and she may have an orgasm or orgasms through cunnilingus, and that
can relax,
delicious and delightful.
Yeah,
and he likes to be there because he can feel it when he's right between her legs, and he can feel it.
Yeah, and to take that part away from your sex life and your experience is a shame because it's a way that many women can experience pleasure and have orgasms in ways that they can't through intercourse. So it really is an intimate and pleasurable experience. And it, again, sort of knowing, and this idea of being clean. So when that comes up, I always tell couples, have a ritual. Take a bath together, take a shower,
yeah.
go wash up. But a lot of people feel like, oh, I shouldn't do that. It's interrupting. It's, you know, it's distracting. We should be in the moment and just be able to do it. And, you know, that's for movies, the whole spontaneity thing that people think sex is supposed to be. It's supposed to be natural and spontaneous. We shouldn't have to take time to, you know, talk about anything or take a shower. That doesn't feel, or plan it, you know, even. Like, that doesn't feel natural or spontaneous. That's not what it's supposed to be. So there's a lot of limiting beliefs around our bodies. We have to be the right size, or our bodies, there's something wrong with it, or we're supposed to be spontaneous. Again, all of these beliefs and feelings that we have about sex and ourselves really get in the way. And so it is such, like you said, the woman has to also know that she's entitled to pleasure. That is so true. Because if she's just about making him happy, it's not going to be pleasurable, not only not for her, but it's actually not as pleasurable for him.
That's right, because so many men, and by the way, I've witnessed this over the years, that a lot of men are becoming more and more evolved. The thing that brings them the most pleasure is their partner's pleasure.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And
I hear it all the time.
And I've got a husband who says, worship your woman and the goddess will reward you.
Well, that is a good man you got there.
I'm going to hold on to him.
Yes. I love that. That's a good bumper sticker.
And that's an original Brian.
Yes, and it sounds so much better than happy wife, happy life. It takes it to a whole new level.
You're adorable. Thank you.
But it's true.
Yeah,
the man knows.
My name is Diana, and so when people call me Diane, I say, no, it's Diana, think princess or goddess. And I actually prefer the goddess reference. And Brian knows that. That's why he said, because the goddess, you know, it being able to visualize yourself, even at my advanced age, maybe especially at my advanced age, well into my 70s, geez, isn't it great to visualize yourself as a sexual goddess with all of this power, this sexual power and fun and uninhibitedness, and yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, it's fantastic. First of all, I have to say, you've earned the title. You are a goddess, no question. And if I do a sequel, 21 more decisions, which I'm actually thinking about, I think
one of the decisions
I need to put in there is decide to be a goddess.
Yes.
I like it.
Yeah, I like that. And we should talk about that in the future sometime, either on my show or your podcast. Yeah.
How to be a sexual goddess.
How to be a sexual goddess.
I like it.
Yeah.
And you are a good person to teach people about that.
Well, thank you. You know, I have had a lot of partners in my life because I've been married a few times, and I had been single in between, and I was single until I was 30 when I married the first time. By the way, that's such a good idea to wait till you're a little older. Don't get married in your 20s when you are not fully formed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works, but, you know, it's better
to
wait.
Usually it is. So I've had many partners, and I've had many clients, so I know about sexuality. And isn't that a good thing?
It is.
To be
it really is.
Confident and to be able, because I think you do it too, you know, to be able to share with other people some sexual exercises and affirmations, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's something you get from, the stuff that we know and that we share and that we help people with, it's not what we learned in college. you know? Mm-hmm. It's what we learned in life from our own experiences. It's also, and we talked about this during our sex therapy show, what we learn and get from all of the clients that we see. I get much from them, and I know you do. We talked about that. I just learn all the time. You can't not learn. When you're talking to that many people and you understand things on a level that you could never do by reading a book. I mean, it really is the experiences that you have in your own life and again, working with people in such an intimate way, which, you know, I know I feel blessed and I know you do too. We both love what we do.
Absolutely. I mean, isn't it what I just, to be able to do this work is a wonderful thing, to be able to facilitate transformations in some of our couples.
Yeah, sometimes in an hour.
Back on track and love each other and have hot sex again. Wow.
I know. Yeah, I couldn't imagine doing anything else.
And me neither.
It really is a blessing and such an incredible experience. And like we said at the beginning of the show, we're still learning. We're always learning because you never stop. And that's important when it comes to, you know, the people listening. When you think about how do you make your sex life, remember, you do not know everything. You don't know what you don't know. You don't know things about your partner, even though you think you might. And there are things you don't even know about yourself yet. I don't care how experienced or how old you are, there's always new things to learn. And if you approach the world, your relationship, your partner, your body, your sex life, everything from the learner's brain, you will be amazed, that be curious, at what can happen. And it's an incredible thing.
It's an incredible thing, and you said it so well, and we want to leave people today with a feeling of optimism that you can, in this year 2020, have more clarity and make your romantic relationship, your sexual relationship, all that it can be. And how is it going to improve in 2020? So I think reading your book, and I'll put it on the show notes for today, is just a great start.
And also, listening to podcasts. Listening to your podcast, listening to my podcast. They are great resources to get good information.
Great resources.
Oh, and there we're the out music. Of time. I hate that.
I do too, Lori. We'll
Love
do it
you,
again
Diana.
Soon.
Thank you for
Bye-bye,
listening,
everybody.
Bye.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you.